Blog Talk Radio.
I couldn't tell you the guy that's singing that song, but obviously it's a the takeoff on Naughty by Nature, down with OPP, and good evening and welcome to Jim's G-Men Jubilee, Friday night. We got, what do we got, 9 days to Super Bowl 46, the Giants taking on the New England Patriots. I don't know, I almost called them the Boston Patriots. What the hell I was thinking. Thanks, guys, for everybody joining me. Got a nice full chat room already. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. Since you're all Blue Shirt Underground Radio listeners, you know the number. I want to hear you guys call in. I want to hear predictions. I want to hear MVP predictions. I want to hear, you want to tell me about, you want to rag on the Cowboys, you want to rag on the Eagles, you want to rag on the J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 suck, 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 go right ahead, I don't care. You want to make fun of the Packers, the Niners, whatever you want. You want to tell me who your favorite player is. Tell me why they're going to win. Give me some analysis, whatever you want. I'm here for all of it. We've got 90 minutes. I'm going to bring James in just a minute. You guys know James hangs out with us on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. He graciously offered to be my co-host this evening, so I'll bring him in just a couple of minutes. I figured we'd start with that JPP song. It seems like it was a good choice. Everybody likes it. And I thought it would be a good place to start, obviously. Definitely our defensive MVP, saved our bacon against Dallas with the big blocked field goal. And it was funny. I don't know if you guys, I don't know how often you frequent BigBlueView.com. It's the Giants site on SB Nation, like Blue Shirt Banner is the Rangers site on SB Nation. I see AK Powers in the chat room. He's a frequent guy on Big Blue View as well. But a couple of weeks ago, one of the regular posters on there, a guy by the name of Sims McConkie, that's his screen name, he went back and looked up the archives for the open thread the day Jason Pierre-Paul was selected in the 2010 NFL draft. They had an open thread going, and it was funny. He went through and looked at some of the comments and how people felt about the draft pick at the time, and it was you could say to say most of the reaction was negative from Giants fans was to put it mildly. And I'll post the link to this if you guys want to just take a look at it. It's just kind of a recap of what was said. I just posted it up in the chat room there. But just to give you a couple of ideas here of what people were saying, if the Giants draft JPP, I'm going to cry. Take Derek Morgan. Do not draft JPP. Anybody else, I don't care. JPP, fuck. No. LOL, what a blunder. Oh, my God, no. Fuck my life. What the hell were they thinking? This pick sucks. These are all different people that made these comments. And yours truly, you can look it up on this thread. And I said at the time, remember what Ernie Accorsi said? You can never have too many pass rushers. He said that when we all went nuts with the Giants drafted Mathias Kiwanuka a few years prior to that. I guess that was maybe the 06 draft or 06 or 05. I can't remember off the top of my head. But that was, I believe that was what Ernie said at the time. You can never have too many pass rushers. And it was nice to see that they went back and found my comment from 4 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was, 2 years ago, that I said that at the time and how right that was, because where would this team be without Jason Pierre-Paul? And obviously, you know, you can throw Eli Manning into the mix and Victor Cruz into the mix. But Jason Pierre-Paul saved them more than a few times this year. And I think, you know, I don't think it would be a stretch to say he was the best defensive player in the league this year. The resurgence that we've seen the last couple weeks from their defense. As a longtime Giants fan, and I am a longtime Giants fan, I have been a Giants fan now, you know, all my life. I went to my first game at Shea Stadium in 1974 against the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think if you've been following the Giants long enough, you know how a game in the 70s went against Dallas. But anyway, obviously being raised on the Giants, and we've seen players like Harry Carson, Lawrence Taylor, Leonard Marshall, Jim Burt, Pepper Johnson, Gary Reasons, and the names go on and on. Michael Brooks, Keith Hamilton, Jesse Armstead. I could go on. Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, Osio Manure. Obviously, this team has a 90-year history on its defense, and to see them play bad defense, to me, it sucks the life out of me. It's tough to watch. I would rather see the Giants win 10-3 than see them win 38-35. To see them play bad defense really takes it out of me. And it was very tough to watch the first 12, 13 weeks of the season. You know, they couldn't stop anyone, no matter what. And you knew, you know, I mean, as great as they – and I thought the defense played a phenomenal game against Aaron Rodgers in that game at Giant Stadium, because it'll always be Giant Stadium. And they still gave up 38 points. And you just knew, you know, as much as you – no matter – you could be the biggest Giants optimist in the world, and you just knew that with a minute left in that game, Aaron Rodgers getting the ball, you knew the Giants defense wasn't going to stop him. But there's been a resurgence. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes, because I think the season turned around on one play, and because of – and we owe a great – an enormous debt to one team. I think that's what got the Giants started on this roll and put them where they are right now. NFC champions headed to Indianapolis next Sunday to take on the New England Patriots, as we said before. Now, I don't know about you guys, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. And again, if you want to call in, 646-478-4692 is the number. I don't know about you guys, but you know, obviously the comparisons to 2007 are just unreal. It's unbelievable how similar this run has gone, starting with a 38-35 loss to the best team in football, to an undefeated team at the time. Culminated, you get into the playoffs, you beat a team from the NFC South. You go in and take on the Packers, who were the number one seed compared to 2007, and you beat them. And then you take on the number two seed in the NFC Championship. It goes to overtime. The game changes on a turnover. The Giants get a field goal from Lawrence Tynes. Just an unbelievable amount of circumstances that are so similar. I've never seen anything like it in sports. Never have I seen anything so parallel. And it's really been amazing. But I'll tell you, you know, this year, as opposed to, there's one thing that's different, at least for me, from now to 2007. I'm a lot more nervous this time. I'm confident, but I'm nervous at the same time. And the reason why is, 2007, the Giants were nobodies from nowhere. I mean, you know, they had nothing to lose. They were playing a team that hadn't lost. I mean, it was all, you know, nobody expected anything from the Giants in 2008, going into Super Bowl 42. Now it's different. The Giants are definitely better on offense. I don't know. I'm still not sure how I look at this defense. Maybe not quite as good on defense, but pretty close. Pretty close, I would say. But now there's expectations. Now this Giants team, they're not playing the big, bad New England Patriots. They're playing a New England Patriots team that's got some flaws. They don't have a great defense either. You know, they've had a defense that's played well in the playoffs. You know, they've played well in the playoffs. But they were terrible all year long. I mean, they were, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think they were worse than the Giants' defense. So, you know, this is a New England team. This is not your 2007 New England Patriots. This is a flawed Patriots team. The Giants are as good as them and better in some areas. So it's got me I'm a little more tense going into this game than I was 4 years ago. Not that that matters. Not that that has any bearing on the game. But it does for me. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that's how I'm feeling. But, again, I want to hear you guys call in. I want to hear predictions on the game. I'm going to bring James in just a second here. Cutter's calling in. For you guys that don't know Cutter, I think everybody at this point knows who Cutter is. Cutter lives up in Kitchener, Ontario. He's a Toronto Maple Leafs fan that caught on to our show a while back. But for some ungodly reason, he's also a New England Patriots fan. I told him the other night I wanted him to call in and give us his take on the game. And I told him, give us a little analysis. He could tell us why he thinks the Patriots will win. And I don't want to just hear it's revenge, because you could throw that out the window. Throw that right out the window. There's seven guys left on that team from 2007. This is almost an entirely new Patriots team. Yeah, they still have Tom Brady. Yeah, they still have Bill Belichick. Fine. Bill Belichick can only control so much, as can Tom Brady. So don't just tell me it's about revenge, because it's not. Maybe go back to are they really looking for revenge for a game from November? I doubt it. It has no bearing. So don't just tell me revenge, Cutter. I want to hear a little breakdown of the game from you. You know your stuff. So bring it in. And for right now, I'm going to bring in, I think Cutter's on hold. 914, Cutter, tell me in the chat room if that's you, so I know that's you. Right now, I'm going to bring in James. James, good evening.
Hey, welcome, what's up, buddy?
G-Men Jubilee, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me on, man.
My pleasure. Thanks for offering to sit in with me. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure too, buddy.
So, James, how are you? I'm sure you heard me talking about how I'm feeling going into this game.
Yeah.
How are you feeling going into this game? I mean, the Giants, you know, they're 9-7. You know, they won their division by the skin of their teeth. They won a lot of games by the skin of their teeth this year. But now, I mean, there's a lot of people, James, this time around that are looking at the Giants. You know, people are wondering why the Giants are 3-point dogs in this game. And I'd rather be the underdog, me personally. But, you know, you could certainly see the Giants being favored in this game.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the Giants beat them back in November. You know, they played, you know, they had to come back at the end. We saw Brady come back at the very end. And Eli had a little time left on the clock. And he got us down the field and, you know, beat them in their own place. And I think Brady hadn't lost a regular season game one, like 6 years there or something during the regular season with him, you know, with him as the QB for them.
Right.
So, yeah, so we seem to have their number right now, so I feel a little confident about that. But just like you said, I do have that nervous feeling, only because it is Brady. And even though you look at that team and, like you said, there's a lot of flaws, but they still won 13 games. You know, they only lost
right.
three games. So you, even no matter how flawed they are, you're saying, okay, well, they're a flawed team, but they did have a good record. They were the number one seed, you know. But the good thing for us is that we beat them without a couple of, you know, like I said, we didn't have Bradshaw in that game in November. We didn't have Tuck that game in November. And if I'm not mistaken, I think there were another couple guys out. I'm not sure, you know, exactly who, but those were the two key guys.
Didn't have Knicks.
Yeah.
It was so,
Hakeem Nicks wasn't there. So, you know, I do have a confidence, you know, and plus that guy Gronkowski, I mean, you know, he supposedly has a high ankle sprain. You know, we don't know what's the truth or what not. So, you know, he's going to be on that field no matter what, right? You know, he's going to drag himself out there if he has to. And, you know, but if he's not 100%, yeah, that benefits us. And, you know, we have a great passing game. Eli seems to be a magician, man. And I tell you, that guy, he took a beating last week. He took such a beating. And he got up each and every time, you know. Didn't look rattled. He knew exactly what he had to do. Everybody's seen it, right? Chin strap on his nose.
Yeah.
The sod was in his helmet, you know, and he's totally, I mean, he got crushed by three guys, and he knows what to do, you know. It's like I feel so confident with him now as opposed to a few years ago, you know, back in 2007, 2008.
Right.
And
he played a good to very good game, you know, in the Super Bowl. He won the MVP, and that was really because of the last drive, obviously.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of school of thought that Justin Tuck deserved the MVP, and absolutely he was a completely deserving choice in that game.
Absolutely.
But you know, Eli's better, and you know, Eli obviously started a firestorm when he made those comments at the beginning of the season that he was an elite quarterback. He thought he was in Tom Brady's class, okay?
Right.
And then he went out and proved it. You know, I think in that, when he said that, I think he was proving it. He wanted to prove it to himself more than prove it to anybody else, and he absolutely went out and did that. And I think the one thing that we can say is that the difference between Eli Manning and Tom Brady, and where Eli's better, is that we've seen Eli take a beating because he's not playing in front of behind the best offensive line in the world. That offensive line was terrible against the 49ers. They were terrible. That's the best defense in the league. They've made a lot of offensive lines look bad. But Eli kept taking a beating and kept getting up. We know from experience, because we've seen it, James, you put a beating like that on Tom Brady, and it takes something out of him.
Yeah, exactly. And Eli seemed to, I don't know. I mean, you see this, you know, well, to us, I mean, on TV, it's like the skinny guy. I'm sure he's a pretty big man, you know what I mean? But you look at him and stuff, and you wouldn't think he could take a pounding like he did. And like we said, you know, he was sacked six times, right? They said he was knocked down like 20. So he was down on his ass, what, 26, between 26, 30 times during that game. And we saw the San Francisco linemen and everything. They punished him. They didn't just like knock him down easy. I mean, they all made sure they jumped on him, and they were going to punish him if they were going to get him down, and they did. And you see them pretty much drill him into the turf there. You know, you saw them drill him in there, and he kept getting up and he kept making plays. And our defense was just as good to stay in that game. You know, I mean, if our defense doesn't play well, you know, for, you know, a certain time period there, and they, you know, they get a little ahead of us, you know, then it's going to be some trouble because their defense could pretty much lock it down. But those two turnovers, hey, you know, that was the game, you know, those two turnovers. And, you know, Eli came through when he had to every time, you know. So I have that confidence now that he's going to come through. And just think back when we lost to them 27-21. In San Francisco again. That last play, we got the ball batted down, and it's like, I know, deep down, it's like, I know he would have hit somebody in the end zone on that play. So I had that confidence even going into the game last week. So, you know, right. Now, you know, you see New England, and you're like, okay, if you could beat a San Francisco team that has a pretty good offense and the best defense probably, I mean, why can't he pick that secondary apart? And our linemen, I think they're going to be able to, you know, pretty much protect them better than they did, you know, did San Francisco. So I think we're, you know, he should be, you know, not be knocked down as much, and hopefully not, you know, and hopefully he's on, man. Because when he's on, he's hot, and who knows.
And you know, the other thing was, you talk about how the beating he took against the 49ers, he got hit a couple of times. How many times during the Packer game were you screaming? Because I know it was at least three or four for me.
Yeah.
How many times were you screaming for a penalty, a late hit on
late
the quarterback?
Hit, yeah.
Against
Same thing,
Packers.
Yeah, I saw that.
So he got hit pretty good against the Packers and, you know, kept getting up off the mat. And you know, we all saw the type of game he had that day. So, you know, in that respect, I think, you know, advantage Giants as far as, you know, the quarterback's ability to get up off the mat and continue to stay in the game. Because, like I said, we know from experience, because we've seen it happen, Tom Brady can be rattled. You can take him out of his game.
Exactly. And the thing is, look, we see with Eli, the guy looks so calm all the time. I mean, this guy, for some reason, nothing rattles him. Nothing bothers him. Me, I'm the type that's a nervous wreck. I worry about everything. I can never do what he does, you know, being so calm and collected. I'm like a maniac. I need my Xanax, and I'm going crazy with between the ranges and whatever, and just life in general. Oh, I got this bill. What the hell is this? And I go crazy. It seems like, well, he's a millionaire, but even if the guy wasn't, I think he'd sit there and look at it and just like nod his head, like, okay, I'll take care of it, you know. And that's pretty much what he does on the field. Like, okay, well, you know, we'll just get back, and we'll even if we're at third down and third and 20, we'll get it. Don't worry about it. It just seems he has that confidence. And even when we're third and long every time, most of the time I feel like we're going to get it. And many times we do, like 75%, I see that long, third and long, and then he makes it. And I'm like, man, this guy is amazing. He's really, I mean, he's become just like he wanted to be at what he said he was, elite. You know, he really is elite. He truly earned it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I guess before I get to a couple other things, and we get some phone calls on the phone. You know, I can't say enough about what Tom Coughlin's done for this team. And I admittedly, 8 weeks ago, I was right there with everybody else, because now all the naysayers are out. You know, you listen to the radio and the media, you know, because they're always right. Everybody wanted Tom Coughlin fired. Nobody wants him fired anymore. Well, you know what? The media was calling for his head 8 weeks ago as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But I was right there with him, and I was right there. Most Giant fans, you know, I have a good friend who I'm hoping is going to call in or join us here in a little while as well. You know, he lives out here with me in Arizona. And he said, look, you know, I'm not a fan of Tom, a fan of everything he does either, but who are you going to get that's better?
Right.
You're not going to get, Bill Cowher is not a better coach than Tom Coughlin. So if you're going to go for a name coach, John Gruden is not better than Tom Coughlin. So, you know, we're just going to have to stick with it and hope for the best. And, well, here we are.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, one thing I wanted to mention, Jim, I don't know if you – have you seen any of those locker room celebrations after they've been winning even during the season?
Yeah.
When you see these guys, when you see, like, Jacobs picking up Coughlin, and they're supposed to not be, like, see eye to eye, you know? And you see him picking him up, and he's shaking him around, you know? And you see all of them, like, with Coughlin, they're rubbing his head, and they're doing, you know, whatever. And you're like, check it out, you know? It's like, this guy is supposed to be, like, the Antichrist or something that they made him out to be. Yeah, well, Parcells was the same type of way. And certain guys respond certain ways. But those guys who supposedly, you know, didn't like him or whatever, even Osi, you know, had some problems. It looks good now, you know.
Well, winning salt cures all ills, I guess.
It sure does, and even at 9-7, you know, when people, you know, I read something, oh, the worst, you know, first place team could win the Super Bowl, and you know, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, look at the schedule, you know, okay, yeah, we had it easy the first half of it, but that second half was brutal, man, and a lot of our guys were injured, you know, even during the first part of it, and they at least they won those games. Yeah, there were a few that they should have won, like Seattle and those two Redskin games, but there's always those letdown games, you know, and we knew that right, you know, was the game before the Jets, there was the letdown game, but
right.
You know,
and if you're a Giant,
hung in there the whole way.
If you're a Giants fan, you know that those letdown games go back to the Parcells days. I could name you the letdown games from the Parcells years. Go look at the 1986 team that lost to Seattle, 17-12, and lost to Dallas on opening night, 30-29, and the 1985 team that lost games down the stretch that they could have won,
right.
That could have made, you know, could have been the difference between being the wild card and the division winner. That's their history. I mean, that's, you know,
right.
That's not,
and me, I walk around proud. I'm like, hey, I don't care 9-7. My boys have freaking kicked ass for the last 5 weeks. They've been in an elimination game for now. It's going to be 6 weeks when they finally have. 7 weeks later, they couldn't lose. You know, I mean, they had to win every one, and you know, to only give up a safety, you know, to Atlanta, you know. With Ryan, right? Matt Ryan, yeah. And I'm like, okay, this guy is phenomenal, and they couldn't do nothing. And then you go into Green Bay, and you heard all the stuff about, you know, the long layoff and You know, Rodgers wasn't, you know, hadn't played now in 4 weeks, you know, is it too much? And, yeah, the guy was off, and they're saying, okay, well, if he would have hit the guy downfield on that first play, they had a this and that. Hey, you know, that's their problem, you know. They screwed up just the way if our guy screwed up. Look at Eli last year. He had so many passes tipped that were interceptions, you know, and the season went down a drain. You know, it was like now any break that we get, and when you look at the first game even against the Patriots, how about the non-calls, you know, we had a couple of touchdowns there and stuff that they screwed up on, you know. Even the playoffs, the other one when I don't remember who it was, and he, you know, on the other side, you know, drops the ball and you can see clearly knees ain't down, nothing's down. I'll take any break we could get, man. You know, you're getting the breaks. We don't get breaks. I said, we haven't had a damn break all year. I'll take any breaks we can get now. So I don't care what goes on. I'll take it. I'll take it if it's bad. If it goes against somebody else, hey, I'll take it.
And, you know, we've said this before. You know, we've said this when it comes to the Rangers as well. You go in any sport, you can't win a championship without some luck.
Right.
You know, the best, you know, winning every game, you know, you can't always do that just by being a great team. You got to have some luck. You got to get some breaks. You got to have a few things fall your way. It's not just about being great or even very good. You've got to get some breaks. And, you know, sometimes the breaks go against the Giants, and sometimes they go for the Giants.
Right. And you got to take advantage of the breaks. If you don't take advantage of the break, I mean, you can get all the breaks in the world. You don't take advantage of it, it means nothing. But so far this team has come through. I mean, even if it's a field goal, I mean, it's something, especially playing on the road. You know, you need the points. Hey, we'll take it. If you know, even if it starts out this way, you know, in the Super Bowl, you know, if New England gets it and they fumble, whatever, do they, you know, Giants get a pick, hey, they come down the field and, you know, if they don't, you know, of course you want the touchdown, but if they could get 3 points right away, I'll be happy, man. If they screw it up once and they're going to be behind already.
Right, yeah.
I'll take that. I mean, I'll take anything. So any kind of thing where we can score first, I like that, you know. But even though we play well from behind, you know, sometimes it scares me. You know, it's like sometimes I'd rather have it be close or a little bit behind because we seem to play better for some reason. But, you know, I'll take anything. I mean, I want to win badly. It would just be so great to just have, you know, we'll be up there really in the elite with 4 Super Bowls. That would be nice, you know. I mean, 3 is good, and I'm happy with that. But, man, that extra one out, 2 and 4 years would be awesome.
Yeah, and like you said, 4 really puts them up there with the upper echelon of franchises in the league. And not only that, but you go back and look and you see that they've won those, you know, if they manage to win, they have 4 Super Bowls in 25 years. That's pretty, you know, that's pretty impressive. I mean, you look at Green Bay, it took them 40 years to win their
yeah, 40? Yeah. You know what I tell everybody? I've been saying, you know, I said the Giants have won one in pretty much every decade. They won in the 80s. They won in the 90s. They won in the 2000s so far. Now we're in the, you know, 11 to 20. Now here's a chance, man. We could have 4 decades in a row with a Super Bowl.
Right. And you know, just what was the, you know, you talk about luck and getting some breaks. You go back to that game that when the Giants were here in Arizona and you had Victor Cruz. You know, the referee, I forget exactly what the ruling was. They said he gave himself up, and it's, you know, everybody was screaming, oh, it should have been a fumble. They got lucky. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I went to work the next day wearing my Giants stuff, and people in my office, oh, they got lucky. I said, well, sometimes it's better to be lucky than to be good. I mean,
that's,
you know,
right.
You know, go back in history. Look at your championship teams. You know, a ball rolls through Bill Buckner's legs. You know,
exactly.
all that stuff, you know. You know, Bobby Johnson finds himself open on a 4th and 17 in Minnesota, and you know, George Martin tipping Elway's pass and running
Elway's pass, and he just grabs it and runs in. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you need those. You need a little luck, a little love and luck. We will get by, as Jimmy Buffett says. All right, so we're gonna get to the phone calls in just one more second. I want to ask you, James, before we go to the phones, in your estimation, what was the turning point for this team?
For me, it had to be the Jet game. You know, when they beat the Jets, I mean, I think we wanted to beat them so bad. Everybody wanted to shut Ryan up. The Jet fans were, I mean, you see it everywhere. Oh, this is Jet Life Stadium. It's our stadium. We're big brother. You're a little brother. We went to 2 AFC championships, blah, blah, blah. You know, you hear all of that stuff, you know. And when, you know, when we could come back now and say, hey, you know, we beat you, you know, and they cover up the Super Bowl logos, I guess, when they play. Now, hopefully we could add a number 4. You know, that would be nice.
And Jets are gonna...
you know, we had the first playoff game in that stadium. We won the first playoff game in that stadium. And so, to me, it was that Jet game. But another thing was that the JPP block, I mean, the field goal. That's another one. Because
right.
I mean, they were going to tie that game, right? Were that going to a tie, or were they going to go?
That would have tied the game.
Yeah, then you don't know what's going to happen. Man, when that thing got blocked, I was like, whoa, man, that's awesome. You know, I mean, you know, that's, you know, very rarely you see something like that. But the guy's awesome at JPP, man. And, you know, what can you say? So to me, yeah, I mean, I don't really know which one, but I mean, just that Jet game, I think it really fired them up, especially, you know, all the things that they heard, I think really, really, you know, just pissed them off so much. And I believe that you know, after what Ryan said, and then the things going back and forth, and Plaxico, I remember him saying, he goes, well, I know I'm not going to be having the bad Christmas, they are, you know, and I keep saying, oh, man, I hope the Giants are watching him now saying that, you know, and after the game was over, I'm like, who's having the Christmas now, Plaxico, you know?
Well, you know, like you said, I do believe the Giants owe this run to the Jets, partially. I think, like you said, the Jets shot their mouth off. I've never seen a team celebrate being the second-best team in the AFC twice in a row so much. You know, they came into the season, we're going to win the Super Bowl, and you've got the coach. And for a guy that had lap band surgery, he still looks awful fat to me. But,
yeah.
But you know, he's talking about, I didn't come here to be anybody's little brother. We're the best team in New York. We're going to be the best team for the next 10 years.
10 years, yep.
And then he puts together this mishmash of attitudes, and he's got an average quarterback, and that's all he is. I'm sorry. Everybody can talk about him all they want. He is an average quarterback. But still, the Jets had the Giants down 7-3, and I think right here, I got the clip, this is the play that turned it all around.
You got to get some positive yards here just so you can punt the ball from a normal distance.
Manning on 3rd and 10. He fires, and the catch is made by Cruz, who breaks free. One man to beat. Victor Cruz down the sideline. Cruz is going to take it all the way, tying an NFL record, 99 yards from Manning to Cruz.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and after that gave the Giants a 10-7 lead. I think they got a touchdown the next time they got the ball, if I'm not mistaken. Ahmad Bradshaw ran over that safety pool.
Oh, yeah, man.
I think he's still looking for the license plate at a truck.
Yeah, and you see Revis. Revis wanted no part of that, man. I see him coming in. You see him let up at that point, you know. Just said he bowled him over.
And that was it. I think the Giants went on to win that game. I think the final score was 29-14. And I think that was what really turned it around for them. I know they had that loss to Washington in between there, but that loss, unfortunately, didn't mean anything to the Giants going into it. I think they kind of knew that. They were looking ahead to that Dallas game because that was the game that meant everything. And, you know, they shit the bed against Washington, but then got the job done. But I think it was that Jet game that really got them rolling, and it was that play that really turned it around. After that, the defense played much better. It was the Jets. Up until that point, the Jets were moving the ball up and down the field.
They
couldn't put any points on the board. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they missed a field goal before that Cruz touchdown. And, you know, after that, the defense settled in, and they've played, you know, pretty well, you know, ever since. You know, a few missteps here and there against Dallas, but, you know, like you said, they shut down Dallas pretty well with the East Division title game on the line. And then, you know, what they've done in the playoffs, I thought they were spectacular against the 49ers.
I mean, you know, it was scary. I mean, you know, when you can't really move the ball, and you saw Eli struggling, you saw the pressure on him. And, you know, I was having, you know, I didn't have a bad feeling, but I didn't have a good one either. I was just sitting there just watching it and, you know, getting a little bit nervous, saying, you know, are they going to be able to come through here, you know? And, you know, and genius over there, was it Williams who hit the punt? They just, like they say, get the hell away from the ball, you know? Hey, you they made the mistakes, you know? He made two mistakes, and it cost them, you know? I mean, hey, what can you do? Our guys were alert and picked it up, you know? They ran into the end zone anyway, just in case. And I always think of that myself. I'm like, whenever you don't hear a whistle, man, just pick up a ball, you know? It's like, don't take a chance, you know? Because a lot of times with lateral passes and stuff, you don't hear the whistle. They just think it's an incomplete pass, you know? So, you know, it got to be alert at all times, and he was. And, and took it, and then, you know, at least got the ball back. I mean, I was like, damn it, there was a touchdown. Now watch us not be able to score. That's what I was thinking. Even after that happened, I'm like, that thing should have, you know, been a live ball, right? If it was a live ball, he could just pick it up and ran it in if they would have got the call right. Is that right?
Or
is it a dead ball automatically?
Well, no. You can't advance the muff. That's why.
Okay, right.
Which I was trying to find out why that's the rule. Like, what's the reasoning for the rule there that you can't advance the muff? Maybe somebody in the chat room knows why that is.
Yeah, because I don't know. Yeah, because I was a little bit with that one. I wasn't too sure, because I know if you do like an onside kick and, you know, you do it and the other teams touch it first and it hits them and goes down, it's a live ball and you could recover it. I mean, I know they're trying to do that, but in that situation, it doesn't. Maybe it's just on a kickoff, not on a punt. I don't know. But like you said, maybe somebody knows more than we do. But I was thinking to myself that it could have been ran in. I'm like, son of a bitch. Now, okay, we're on the, what is it, 27-yard line, whatever it was. I'm like, okay, we're close. But, man, I want the 7. I don't want 3, you know. But, like, right. I think it was 3rd and what? 3rd and 17, and he threw it in there, right? 3rd and 17 when he threw that touchdown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 3rd and 15, yep. I think it was.
Yeah, and that was it, man. You know, that's the thing. You know, Eli in the clutch. Oh, awesome. It's awesome. And that's it. Eli, he is elite, man, and I don't care what anybody says. And I hope he wins, knock on wood, I hope he wins this Super Bowl. And MVP or not, win or not, I mean, the guy had a great year, and we are still the NFC champs. Jets could say he went to 2 AFC championships, but they don't close the deal. We are the NFC champions no matter what happens. So we're something. At least we can say we're something. We didn't lose the thing. At least we made it to the Super Bowl again, and we're 5-0 getting to it. So, hey, I'm proud of our team.
They don't sell T-shirts on NFL.com that say we lost the AFC championship.
Yeah, 2 AFC games in a row. Yeah, all right. So what else, Rex? What else have you done? You know, and he's
exactly.
signing. And I heard a couple people tell me, you know, he's signing. You know, next Rex Ryan, Super Bowl champs 2000, next Super Bowl champ, something like that. And look what happened. You know, just shut up, play the game. And you know, you're supposed to be this genius. Now, there's more stuff that came out today. I don't really want to talk about that, but more stuff today that Revis comes out with stuff, you know, that Ryan didn't know what was going on with some things, blah, blah, blah. So I haven't really read it yet, but there's more to it now. So I'm like, this guy really doesn't have any pulse on his team, man, because he seems to just be screwing around with something else, because he certainly ain't taking care of his offense at all. He didn't know what the hell's going on. And
right.
and the thing I wonder, too, with the Schottenheimer deal, you know, he took him to the 2 AFC championship games, and all of a sudden he's no good no more. So I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, and just to I'll say one more thing about the Jets, because and then we'll close the
Definitely.
Book on them. But this whole Peyton Manning to the Jets thing makes absolutely no sense.
No.
I'm gonna tell you, because first of all, I don't think Peyton Manning wants to share a stadium with his brother, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, I don't think he wants to play in crappy weather. He's 36 mm-hmm. years old.
Yeah, now he has 2 neck surgeries, 3 neck surgeries to go with it.
It just makes no sense. Peyton Manning, you know, Mike Francesa said this too. So if you listen to WFAN, you know, I'm kind of repeating what he said. But you bring in Tony Sperano to coach your offense. He doesn't run Peyton Manning's offense.
Right.
Peyton Manning comes in. Peyton Manning wants to run Peyton Manning's offense. He wants to go to the line of scrimmage, call his plays, and that's his offense.
Right.
We've seen him. I mean, he's run his offense for, what, 12, 13, 14 years? He doesn't want to come in and run a power offense.
Exactly.
He's not coming into Giant Stadium to play for the Jets to run the ball 35 times a game.
Exactly.
So it makes no sense. Peyton Manning's probably going to wind up in Miami. I think that's what makes the
most sense. I was going to say, where it's warm and he could call his own place, right?
Exactly.
But Peyton was great, man. I mean, but, hey, you know, I mean, 3 neck surgeries, like I said, you don't even know if the guy, they said his range of motion still ain't even there. So, you know, who knows if he could even throw the ball again the way he used to, you know? So there's another thing. But, you know, I wish him luck. I mean, hopefully, you know, come back and see if he wants to. You know, the man made his money. He won the Super Bowl. So, hey, he did all right.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's start taking some calls here. First up, good evening, Stacey. Welcome to the G-Men Jubilee. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
All right,
good.
How are you?
I'm good. So I'm very excited.
Good.
About Sunday. Yes, it's very exciting. I thought I was going to have a heart attack, actually, during the game on last week.
Well, there was a lot of that. Let me just tell you, when Lawrence Tynes lined up to kick that field goal in overtime, I was over at my friend, my best friend Chuck's house, and I'm watching the game with my friend Chuck and Mike. If you look on my Facebook, they're the guys in the pictures with me in Houston last year and here in Arizona. And I got down on my knees in front of the TV set, and they're just looking at me laughing, and I said, let me tell you something. I said, I did this 4 years ago. I said, I have to do this. And I'm down on my knees. I didn't even watch the kick. I heard snap, kick is up, and then I looked up, and I saw the kick go through, and I knew we were on our way. So
I wasn't looking at the TV either. I was the same way. I closed my eyes, and I was like, it's either going to end or we're going to keep going at this pace.
And me, I was watching it. I was at the edge. I was sitting in the back of my couch the whole time, and right there I scooted right up, and I'm sitting at the edge, you know. Please, just make it through, please. And it did.
This needs to end. The game just needed to end. It was enough already.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to bring this up. You know, my sister actually ended up in the hospital the next day. She's a big Giant fan. And I saw it tonight, yeah. And everybody's telling her, well, it's a pretty bad situation, but thank God that they cleared it up. She had a blood clot actually in her brain. But everybody's saying it must be the stress from the Giants. We were joking around with it and stuff. But and she's probably listening right now. I don't know. I told her, if you want to call in because she's bored in the hospital. But she's a huge Giant fan. She goes nuts, and she has all the Giant stuff and, you know, so everybody joking around, how'd you end up in the hospital? Would they give your team gave you a heart attack or what? But you know, thank God, knock on wood, everything's okay.
I mean, I don't think my voice is still fully recuperated from Sunday. John's voice is not fully back yet either, just from screaming.
So he held the TV like everybody else does.
We were screaming our heads off. It was ridiculous, but it's very exciting, and I think it should be a great game. I hope it's a great game.
Yeah. Now, how confident are you?
I'm pretty confident. I was last Super Bowl when we played the Patriots. I was actually still at school, and I went to Tolmer, Rhode Island. So I was surrounded by New England fans. So
ooh,
this
sorry
is
sorry to hear that.
Well, it was we won 17-14, so it was fine.
You were able
but,
to shove in their face, huh?
Exactly, but I think it should be fun, and I'm pretty confident. The only thing that I'm going to say, and you alluded to it a little bit before, our offensive line on Sunday gave Eli absolutely no protection. He was falling all over the place. He was sacked six or seven times, whatever it was. He was on the ground almost every play, and they have big guys. Brandon Jacobs is how big? He can take down linemen in a second. Like, something needs to happen, otherwise,
well,
even though the Patriots – go ahead.
You know, you mentioned that, and I thought, you know, in watching the game, and then I went back and I caught quite a bit of it when they showed it back on NFL Network the other night. I watched a good portion of it. I thought some of the best blocking they got in that game was from the running backs. When Jacobs or Bradshaw or Heinoski had to do a little chipping in the backfield, I thought that was some of the better blocking they had. It was the offensive line was just getting overrun. I mean, between for most of the third quarter and even into the fourth quarter, the offensive line, the Niners were dominating the line of scrimmage. Just dominating.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be up to the running backs to do that. We have a line for a reason.
But
and
I
they
agree.
Need to protect it. And they're not.
And do you see what I see also, that our running backs seem to be dancing at the line of scrimmage, trying to find where they're going to go that game? They were just kind of like dancing around, like, okay, where am I going? Because the penetration from San Francisco was there, like every, you know, 95%
Bradshaw
of the time.
Bradshaw had nowhere to go. He had nowhere to go. That's our line. Our line needs to give him holes like they've done in the past to make him go. Jacobs can run over people like a madman. So I'm not worried about him. I'm more worried about when you get Bradshaw the ball at first and 10 or second and whatever, he has nowhere to go. And our line is not giving him any, if that makes sense.
Well,
oh, it makes sense. Perfect sense.
See, I think, I'm going to disagree with you. I think it's just the opposite. Bradshaw makes his own holes.
Right.
Brandon Jacobs needs, you know, he needs some space to run through. And Brandon Jacobs, they have, and this is a big pet peeve of mine. When they run Brandon Jacobs to the outside,
mm-hmm.
he'll get pulled down with a 1 yard gain every time. Brandon Jacobs needs to be running between the tackles up the middle of the field where he can get a head of steam going and run people over. Bradshaw's going to make his own space. I mean, how many times you see Ahmad Bradshaw take the handoff from Eli Manning, run to the left? And he's got nowhere to go and turns around, runs all the way to the right. You think, oh, shit, he's going down. He's going to lose 3 yards.
Yeah, he always makes something out of nothing, right?
And he winds up getting 5 yards.
The thing with Jacobs, though, is, you know, what I've been seeing, even when he's running straight ahead, he doesn't seem to, I don't know, he takes like a stutter step too kind, and then he tries to go, and before you know it, it's like, you know, everybody's on him. And that game, I think, in particular, I've seen it more, you know, than the other one, because, of course, San Francisco, that's why they had probably best defense in the league. I mean, you could see these guys, they're huge, they were muscling our guys all over the place. But the good news is, at least New England doesn't have what San Francisco has. So we beat them, you know, with just Jacobs, and now we have both of them for this game. And we could run tight end. You know, we could go to Jacobs. You could go to Bradshaw. We have a lot more options now in this upcoming game, you know, against New England than we had, you know, last time we played them. So, you know, we have a nice, you know, it's a good thing for us.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it takes how many people to bring Jacobs down to begin with? I mean, he's a big dude. So, like,
yeah.
I'm not worried about that. But hopefully
it takes a couple of guys to bring him down if he's got the head of steam going.
Well,
you know what I mean? You know, if he takes the handoff and he's got nowhere to go when he hits the line, he's going down. Yeah. If he's got a little bit of head of steam and he's got a hole to run through, and can get through that line and get to the linebackers and get into the defensive backfield, forget it. You know, it's going to take 3-4 guys to get him down. But if he doesn't have that hole to run through, he's not going far. All right, Stacey, before we get to some, we're going to take some other calls, but let me hear you predict. I want a prediction on the game, and I want to hear an MVP prediction from you.
I think it's going to be 28-14.
Who's winning?
Us, okay. Obviously. I think MVP is either going to be Eli or JPP.
Eli or JPP. All right. I'm going to write this down. SK 28-14, and then I'm going to write 90-11. So we'll see in 11 days.
10, yeah.
What did I say?
11.
Yeah, Mr. Simmons is retired, right?
I got Phil Simms on the brain.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, we're old, man. We don't remember some.
Maybe we'll put him in, too. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah. Never
right.
know.
I like all the right. prediction.
Stacey, yes,
thank
I
you.
Do, too. Thanks for calling
right.
in, Stacey. We'll
no
talk
problem.
To you soon.
Have a good night.
Say hi to Newman.
I will.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, next up, joining us for the first time on this network, Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Jim, what's going on?
So we've got Jim, James, and Jimmy. How are you?
Hey, how's it going,
thanks,
man?
Thanks for calling in. I've only been trying to get you to do it for 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
So give us your thoughts. You know, how are you feeling headed into the Super Bowl 46? Are you confident? Are you nervous? Are
you know what it is? I got to say, I feel the exact same way you do, like exactly what you said. I feel a lot more tense and nervous coming into this game than we did back in 08. And it's just like, I don't know what it is. You know, they've got a worse record than they did then. I mean, we're facing them with an undefeated record in 08. Now they're 13-3, but it's just like, it's hard to put my finger on. It's just a lot more scarier this time around.
You know what I think it is? I think it's that now, it's not that we're expected to win since we're the underdog, but I think a lot of people really do believe, you know, we have a great chance of winning, whereas back then, nobody gave us a chance in hell. I mean, nobody. There was no way we were going to win that game back in, you know, 07, 08, and we did. And now, you know, they see us, you know, they see that, you know, we beat them back then, and even this season, missing key players, and now we have them back. So, you know, like as Jim said, you know, we're underdog, and a lot of people think we should be favorite. So
I look at it like it's kind of like the kiss of death with the media saying, like, oh, you know, New England's defense is a lot worse now than it is then, and, you know, the Giants are going to have an easier time. And once you start saying that, it's just kind of like you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah, the expectations are higher this time. I think anybody that watches a lot of football, you know, yeah, the Patriots are 13-3, and yeah, they've won, I think, 10. They haven't lost since the Giants beat them. But you still see, you know, a team that's got some holes. You know, in 2007, They hadn't been beaten, and nobody, except for the Giants in that last game of the season, nobody had really given them a very hard time. You know, the Giants did. You know, the Giants had a lot to play for in that game. They just didn't want to be showing up in their own building. They just didn't want to be. They didn't want to be, you know, a willing participant in the Patriots parade to, you know, to perfection. How many P words can I use there? You know, I sound like Bugs Bunny. You know, watch me paste this pathetic palooka with my perfect pachydermis, you know, whatever. So, you know, but this time the expectations are higher for the Giants. The Giants are better than they were in 2007. Like I said before, Eli's better. They've got better wide receivers. You know, nothing against Amani Toomer and Steve Smith, who I still don't miss, by the way. Thanks, Steve.
Yep.
You know, but this is a better core of receivers. And you know, I think that's why I think a very important player for the Giants in this game is going to be Mario Manningham, which, I'll be honest with you, concerns me a little bit. Because I think they're gonna pay a lot of attention to Nixon Cruz, obviously. You know, as my partner would say, it doesn't take the Pink Panther to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's gonna leave Mario Manningham some opportunities to get open. I mean, this Patriots defensive backfield is spit and polish. I mean, they're put together with practice squad guys, and I'm still using a lot of P words. you know, duct tape and you know, hold it together. You know, and you know, maybe they could cover Nixon Cruz, but that's going to leave Mario Manningham open, and that's going to leave Jake Ballard open, who I love because we all love the tight end.
Yeah.
Giant fans, we love our defense, and we love our tight ends. You know, we loved, you know, going way back, we loved Bob Tucker, and you know, we loved, and of course, we all loved Bavaro and Zeke Mowat.
And
we all loved Shockey, and we want to love Jake Ballard, and Jake Ballard can catch passes that are 6 feet over his head and off his fingertips, he'll make the catch. But you throw one right at him in the numbers, and he drops it.
Yeah, he needs to, like, jump and twist and do all of these things, and he catches it. But like you said, right in the numbers, he doesn't hold on to it.
And Manningham, you know, I see him sometimes. He doesn't go. He runs the wrong route, or he stops running his routes, and he doesn't go all out on every play. And that's a concern for me a little bit because, you know, I think he's going to be an important guy if the Giants want to use three wide receivers, try and spread the field, try and expose this defensive backfield. That's how they're going to have to do it. So that being said, I still think they'll get it done. Plus, you're going to have Bradshaw's going to be able to catch passes. The Giants have so many more weapons to work with. Guys that are, you know, guys that were there 4 years ago but are better players now than they were 4 years ago. You know, Bradshaw was still a rookie 4 years ago, wasn't he?
Yeah.
When he went to the Super Bowl in 07 or in 08.
Yeah,
so,
he was a rookie.
You know, I think that's, you know, advantage Giants.
Going back to Eli and his improvement over the years, one of my favorite stories coming to the season is, you know, you look back at that interview that he did when he said he considers himself in the top five in the league, and everybody laughed at him. But you look at it now, who's getting the last laugh?
Right.
You're right, buddy. He showed him. He showed everyone.
He's backed up his words. He's brought the Giants into another Super Bowl. He's shown that he's up there with the upper echelon of the quarterbacks, the Drew Brees, the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers. And, you know,
and I think
his credit.
Well, let me ask you that. When he said that, what did you think of it? Did you think he you know, what he said, he's an elite quarterback? Did you have that belief that he is one or is about to be one, or did you just be like, ah, this guy is just, you know, he's out of his mind?
I didn't feel like he was out of his mind, but I didn't feel like he was there yet. I felt like he still had to show us that, and you know, through the course of the season, I think he did.
Yeah, and there's still some, you know, these experts or whoever you see on the TV, too. There's still some of them are not, you know, well, there's still this one and that one. It's like the guy, no matter what he does, just can't prove it to them, you know, some of them, you know. I mean, hey, if this guy wins another Super Bowl, man, I mean, it'll be amazing. And I want that'll just shut everybody up, you know, and that'll pretty much guarantee him a Hall of Fame, you know, end up in Canton, right?
The one thing that I'm really hoping for with this is, you know, win or lose, I just want him to shake off that image of, you know, quote unquote, Peyton's little brother. You know, it's like I want him to be seen as his own person, like as the great quarterback that he is. Obviously, winning next Sunday will help that, but I feel like just all the improvements that he's made through this season, I feel like that's enough. Win or lose, he'll finally step out of Peyton's shadow.
Yeah, I think that, you know, don't forget, you know, Peyton's had a long, you know, Eli, what did Peyton start, like 7 years sooner than Eli did? So Eli still has a few years to go, you know, and by the time it's all said and done, who knows how many rings he'll have, or what offensive, you know, production he'll have at the end. You know, he might have more yards passed than his bro. Who knows what, you know, what's going to happen. But to have two rings, I mean, you know, even just to get so far, this is his second Super Bowl. He's won one. And, you know, I mean, yeah, we could lose, of course. But you know what? At least he showed he made it there twice. I mean, some people, you know, look at the Dan Marino. He made it there one time in his second season. That's it. You know,
right.
That was it for him.
And,
he's
and
done.
You know, and well, there are two things I want to say real quick. You know, I got asked by a lot of people when Eli made those comments. You know, people would ask me, "Well, what do you think about what Eli said?" And I would pretty much say the same thing, that I didn't think he was what you would call elite, whatever that means, yet.
Yeah.
But I thought he could be. But I would also add the caveat and. That, and I said this even before the beginning of the season, before he went out there and proved it another half dozen times to prove me right. I said this before the season, that with 2 minutes to go and the game on the line, there isn't another quarterback in football I want with the ball. I don't care. You could argue with, you could tell me Aaron Rodgers, you could tell me Drew Brees, Tom Brady, whoever you want. You give me 1 minute, and I don't even care. No timeouts, and you give me 80 yards. I'll take Eli every time.
Now, Jim, was that now, or was that before the season started?
I said that before the season.
Before the season started. Okay.
Because
look at all he's done in the fourth quarter of this season. Like all the magic that he's worked with this team. You know, I feel the exact same way. If there's under 2 minutes left in the game, I want the ball in his hands.
Absolutely.
Because my friend Chuck, who I'm hoping is here listening, I think he might be one of the guests in the chat room at this point. I'm not sure, but. He has been very slow to come onto Eli's bandwagon, but I would have this. I mean, you would not believe the arguments we've had over Eli Manning, because I've always been in Eli's corner. Whereas it's really only been this year where he's fully behind our quarterback, and I love it. His wife bought him an Eli Manning jersey for Christmas. But I've said this to him all the time: that with a minute to go in the game on the line, there's nobody I would rather have with the ball, because. He gets it done.
He gets it done. He gets up. He manages the clock. He manages. He'll spike the ball. He'll get that. He'll run them up, man. And to me, he just like he's on. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's like you don't see him. You know, if he needs to take a timeout, you'll never see him waste one. You know, if it's necessary, you'll see him do. Maybe they have too many men on the field, whatever. Or the clock's ready to run out. You'll see him take it if he needs to. But he doesn't panic at all. There's no panic in him. He's just like I said before. You know, just smooth. He knows what he's doing. He kind of like to me, it's almost like he has like an his head of what he's going to do next. You know, if this happens, or if this happens, this is what I got to do. He has some, or it's just some kind of sense he has as you know, as it's going, as it's moving along, what to do. And he just I haven't seen him make a really mistake yet.
Right. Just one more thing. He went to that Arizona game with me and stood next to me. We watched Eli throw those two touchdown passes in the last 3 minutes of the game to bring the Giants back from 10 down. The game was over, and he just looked at me, and I said, I told you, nobody I'd rather have in this situation. Jimmy, before we let you go, man, the switchboard's jammed. Give us a prediction, score prediction, who's going to win, and MVP predictions.
Okay. I'm going to say this is a relatively low-scoring game, and I'm going to say 17-10 Giants, and I'm giving Eli the MVP.
Well, lower than I would think, but good score.
Okay.
At least we win. Okay.
Well, Jimmy, thank you for finally calling in.
No problem.
Get some sleep.
My pleasure.
I know you got to work tomorrow. Join us on the underground sometime.
I will.
Nice talking to Jimmy.
Talk to you soon, Jimmy.
Guys.
Take it easy. All right, let's see. We got 914 has been holding a very long time. 914, you're on the G-Men Jubilee. Who's this?
Chuck, hello, Tommy. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for holding on, man. Sorry to keep you on hold so long. We just
it's quite all right. I get on with Francesca quicker than I get on with you. So listen, you know, I know, but listen, one of the things that seriously is that, you know, there's obviously a couple of plays that, you know, you went back on, and the block, the JPP block, the Cruz 99-yard thing. One of the defining moments that, and you hear so much about it right now with Coughlin, and you hear other coaches talk about, you hear the analysts talk about, is consistency. And there's never a panic. And I think that, you know what, how many coaches in the NFL, in the most important game of the year, being the first Dallas game, because that was when are you done, would keep your star running back out for the entire first half. Now, as a fan, it was driving me crazy, obviously. But I think it goes to the heart of what this team is and what it's all about in terms of consistency. We lost Terrell Thomas. We lost Goff before the season. We as fans panicked. There was no panic from the organization. I talked to Pat Hanlon over the bye week, and he said to me, listen, this is a very, very young football team that had no training camp. Akamura gets knocked out with the ankle injury, et cetera. He says they are only going to get better and better. And, you know, I look at this game and I say, I'm done with making predictions for the Giants. I sat there. I'm battling a cold right now, and I think I got at the Green Bay game out there. I'm off to Indy on Friday. This is, it's gravy right now for this reason for me. When I see Tom Coughlin, who, as you know, you've been through this forever, the ups and downs that he has had with the, you know, the fans and the media, et cetera, as your co-host there tonight remarked, the fun that he is having and the way that this team is rallied around him, whether it's Antoine Roe or Human Muir, and Jacobs, I think, is always like Tom because...
Yeah, that's one of the guys, Antoine Roe, yeah.
Yeah, and Roll has really come around on him. But Jacobs and him, I think, he's always been in Jacobs' corner, you know, when Jacobs was going out with the fan. To see them in the locker room together and to see Coughlin enjoying the moment like this, I am so happy for the team, for the organization, and I'm just done predicting because I sat through the Eagle game when I literally, as a grown man, I left the game against the Eagles last year when Sean Jackson ran it back. I literally just about started crying in a shopping mall on my way home because I had to pull over. I was that distraught, and I'm a grown man. And I said,
"You're in love with the Giants, and they jilted you, man."
Right, but right, and you know the feeling. And so right now, I'm going to Indy. I'm making no predictions other than anyone who tells you 17-10. I don't know what world they're living in. This is not a 17-10 game. And I think that one of the reasons is that, you know, as someone said earlier, I mean, so many of our players did not play in the last game, whether it was Knicks or whether it was Bradshaw, et cetera. I just think that we're going to score, whether they score on us on that. I don't know. But I think that when you look at an MVP for this game, it will either be Brady or Manning. And that's why the odds are the way they are in Vegas is pretty good at setting those things. It's going to be one of the two quarterbacks. I mean, could you get a random guy returning the kick or something? You know, that could happen. But I'm going into it as I have since sitting at the Jet game, and I'm a Giants season ticket holder. I bought tickets for the Jet game, sat in the upper deck, bunch of Giant fans there. As I went into that game saying, I'm tired with predictions. Go play the game. Let's see what happens. And when I went to Green Bay, I took that attitude. San Francisco, I took that attitude. And I'm taking it again next week.
Hey, it's been working, man. I don't see you changing, you know, see why you should change anyway. You know, whatever's going to be is going to be, you know. You might have a thought in your head what could happen, you know. You may have a score in your head. You may have see something playing out. But if you want to go at it like that and it's been working for you, I'm superstitious. Do it.
Me too.
Don't even think of a score if you don't want to do it.
For the Jet game, I tossed aside my LT jersey that I've been wearing since 1990. When a good friend of mine who was best friends with Tim Mara when he owned the team started taking me a game, and we're going to this game in Indy with him and his son, I tossed the jersey aside and I put my Phil Sims jersey on. It has not been washed since the Jet game. I will wear the same jeans to this game. I will wear the same Giant jacket to the game. I don't care how warm it is indoors. I'm wearing the Giant jacket. And one last thing. In 1990, my ex-brother-in-law bought me a hard hat at a Redskin game in D.C. Intermittently, since 1990, including the Phoenix Super Bowl that my youngest son wore to that game, and the last game being the Jet game, it is now 14-0. That son, who's in Florence, Italy, I'm taking my oldest to this game, said, Dad, make sure Matt takes the helmet to the game.
Take the helmet. Don't forget
the damn helmet. So the hard hat is going to the game, and we're going to be 15-0. Thank you, guys. You did a great job. I really enjoyed listening to you.
Tom,
great.
Thank
thanks
you
a lot,
so
bud.
Much for calling in. Have a great time at the game. I look forward to seeing some pictures, and hopefully we'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much,
guys. Have a safe trip, man. Enjoy.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Great show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Tom and I last night we were talking on Twitter to this kid. He's 16 years old, and he said something to the effect of, he said, my obsession with the Giants is very unhealthy. And I said, get used to it. I said, it doesn't get any better. I said, I'm 41 years old. I said, it doesn't get any better, kid.
It doesn't, man. I remember the games in the 70s and stuff, and I have a few, and man, they were bad. They were so bad. And here's real quick. My uncle wanted me – he's a big Jet fan, was a season ticket holder till this year. He wanted me to be a Jet fan. He took me to the games. He bought me the Jet jersey, helmet, all that stuff. My father, sit over here. Watch the Giants with me. Sit here. And I sat there and watched the Giants with him from 70 – when Giant Stadium opened up around 76. And I've been a fan ever since because he made me sit there and watch them no matter how bad they were. And when they almost lost that game in 78, the Miracle of Meadowlands, he got up and was ready to kick his foot through the television. And I'll never forget that as a kid, you know. I was only like 12, you know, and he's ready to kick his – I'm going to kick my foot through his goddamn set, you know. Those are the exact words. And my father passed away in 84, unfortunately. So he missed the Mets. He missed the Giants. He missed it all.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
My dad – is fortunately he's still with us, and you know, every Sunday I'll get text messages from him. He'll call me at halftime. What the hell are they doing? What's with this? What's with that? And then, you know, or then he'll text me, you know, like when they beat Dallas. Never in doubt, you know.
That,
you know.
And that's what I expected in my older days. My father being some old guy crazy over the Giants and the Mets and all. You know, but unfortunately, you know, the cigarettes, you know, too many, and
yeah.
He died of esophageal cancer in 84, and you know, and I after the Mets won and the Giants, like, Dad, this was it, you know, if you would have a couple more freaking years, you could have seen both of them, you
exactly.
know, so you know, it was unfortunate and stuff, but man, I know he's watching, man, in last Super Bowl, come on, you got to do it, you know, all those things, I always feel like he's with me, you know, so it's good.
Good, well, that's what's important, and I. Lost track of what I was going to say there. I forgot. But since Cutter's here, yeah. But there was something else I was going to say. Now I don't remember. But since Cutter's here, we got a little something for him too.
9 seconds left. Manning lobs it. Burris alone. Touchdown, New York.
Music in my ears.
Absolutely. That was my ringtone for a while. since we've got a bunch of people on hold, if you want to call in 646-478-4692. We were originally going to do 90 minutes. I extended the show another half hour. James, if you could stick around, great. And,
absolutely.
I would appreciate it. And we'll get to calls in we'll get back to the phone calls in just a couple of minutes.
Sure.
I saw from the notes today from practice, Ahmad Bradshaw practiced today, Chase Blackburn. There's another one. Chase
yeah.
Blackburn was you know, sitting home waiting for the phone to ring. How important has this guy been?
He's been amazing.
On the stretch.
Yeah, he's been amazing, man. He's clutch making tackles all over the place. I mean, he's involved. He seems like he's involved in every play, like a JPP or something.
Yeah, I mean, he's stepped in and taken on quite a role. And, you know, for a while, when Boley was out, he's the starting linebacker. I'm thinking, this guy went from nowhere back to being the starting middle linebacker for this team.
Isn't that amazing? It's amazing with some of these guys, you know, the off the scrap heap, you know, like they're just sitting around, didn't have any, like you said, no preseason, no nothing, and he comes in and doing an awesome job. I mean, it's because of all of, again, the injuries. Without the injuries, maybe that's one of the reasons why, you know, one of those fate things, you know. We had an injury, and they needed somebody in there, and they, you know, they call him up. He comes down and fills in, and guy plays awesome.
They've gotten a lot of production from guys that, you know, obviously, you know, beyond Victor Cruz, you know, who's just been unbelievable.
Absolutely.
But, you know, guys like Chase Blackburn, you know, just guys that you told me at the beginning of the season, Chase Blackburn's going to play an integral part in the Giants winning the division. I told you, you're crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's really, It really is amazing.
It really is. And then you look at Boley when he got hurt, you know, and he's the guy that they say calls the signals on the field and stuff, you know. And you know, not to bring the Jets up again and stuff, you know. I don't remember. I keep forgetting his name and stuff. He was the guy. He just got hurt, I think, this year, too. And I think he got hurt last year. It's like when those guys are missing, I mean, they play such a big part of the signal calling and stuff, you know. And they weren't the same when he – but I can't remember his name. He got hurt. And when Boley got hurt, we looked totally out of it, too. I don't care if we were playing, you know, somebody we're supposed to destroy. You know, when you don't have that guy there who's you know, who you usually there to count on, you know, and, you know, somebody who does it probably the right way, you know, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't click for some reason. But when Boley came back, man, I was so happy. Thank God he's back, you know. And you know, it goes for anybody, you know, when anybody, you know, that you know that plays well all the time, you know, like, thank God this guy's back. Thank God Bradshaw's foot was, you know, it was only a couple games or whatever. Thank God this is healed. And even these 2 weeks, you know, okay, it's helping with Gronkowski for them and stuff. But Eli took a beating, you know. I think he needed that extra week, you know. And some of these other guys that hurt Bradshaw's foot, you know, that's going to help that extra week. And, you know, these guys have been through hell, I mean, in these last very physical games. So, you know, yeah. we need the rest, too. And you know, I'm just hoping we're pretty healthy and God willing, man, we're gonna do it.
Yeah, and Nick sat out practice again. Shoulder's still bothering him. He went down hard on
that. Yeah, he went down hard.
Against Frisco, but doesn't seem to be anything to worry about. You know, this game is still 9 days away, and
yeah,
you know,
plus he came back in that game anyway, and he
played well.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, it's just a matter. Give these guys as much rest as they need. I mean, you know, how much practice does Hakeem Nicks need to be ready?
Exactly, he could do it.
Let's face it. You know, and same thing with Corey Webster. I guess his hamstring's bothering him a little bit, but
right.
They're just being held out for precautionary reasons. And you know, when the Giants hit Indianapolis, which I think is Monday, I think they go to Indy. So first practice in Indy will probably be Tuesday, and everybody should be ready to go. So let them rest.
Let them rest.
I would tell these guys not to get out of bed for 3 days.
Exactly, man. You know? Sit down, watch some movies, take your mind off it, and just get your body ready.
You know, just sit in a hot tub when you need to.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And out here in Arizona is my buddy Justin. Justin, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
All right, how you doing?
Doing great.
Hello?
You there?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can hear you. We're doing good. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate you being here tonight.
Yeah, you know. What was I going to say? To start off... back to the injuries that you were talking about, from what I read today, they should all be able to practice by Wednesday regarding, like, Jaquan Williams, Hakeem Nicks. They should all be good to go by Wednesday. Like you said, they were all held out for precautionary reasons.
Yeah, so everybody should be good to go for next week. And you know, and looking at that, I mean, really going to the Super Bowl, this is going to be the most healthy this team has been all year.
Yeah. They're going to be healthy. It hurt a lot when Terrell Thomas went down and Goff went down, and we didn't really have a solution at middle linebacker. But Blackburn has done a remarkable job. He's played well. He's played really,
yeah.
really well.
Absolutely, and just think some of those guys being out. You know, that's the reason why he came in and he impressed and he's doing a job. And you know, would you ever think that Chase Blackburn is going to be some integral part of this defense? You know, would you have ever thought that? I wouldn't.
No way.
No way.
I wouldn't have
ever
thought
sitting around
that.
At home, right, eating the Cheetos on a Sunday, whatever, eating whatever he's doing, you know, just hanging out, and he's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, go figure, right?
There you go.
One of the most important things that I think happened for the Giants, obviously, our defense was really, really poor the last pretty much all season. I mean, we had a few games that were good sprinkled here or there. But, I mean, towards the middle of the season, I was really upset at our defensive coordinator, Perry Phil. I was not a fan of his. I was personally, to admit it, I was hoping he was going to get fired at the end of the year.
Everybody's saying get rid of Fuel, bring back Spags, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I was one of them for sure. But I'll tell you,
you're not alone. I mean, you know, we're all right there. I mean, you know, you don't have to. Nothing to apologize for. We're all right there with you.
Yeah.
Well, even Kevin Gilbride too. I'm not. I tend to call him Killdry from time to time. I'm sure a lot of Giants fans do.
Oh yeah.
But I'm not his biggest fan, although I think he's called a good playoff so far. Hopefully he continues that in the Super Bowl.
Let's hope nothing, and there's one thing about the Giants, there's no trickery, no trick plays. Like, I remember, you know, we said the little flea flick thing sometimes, you know, Sims and this and that, but this team just, you know, they just play it straight up, you know, straight up, no fake punts, this or that, you know, they just go right after you. And, you know, and now that all these guys are healthy, you could see them, man. I mean, they bonded and they're ready to go, man.
Yeah, the defense is playing lights out. I mean, the Niner game, they gave up one pass to a wide receiver. I mean, yeah, they blew coverage twice on Vernon Davis, but that guy's a beast. And, I mean, the way they played against Green Bay, and, I mean, they completely shut down Atlanta. I think the real big thing that got us to the Super Bowl was the fact that Fuel, I don't want to say dumbed down, but he simplified the defense. During the year, there was so much confusion. They were confused all the time, talking to each other. Where do I go?
I read that same story.
Yeah.
Yep, I read the same story. And they simplified the defense. They were all confused. They were blown coverages all over the place.
Yeah. And in the playoffs, they've simplified it. They've dumbed it down. And they've just let their natural abilities, you know, play. And, man, I got to tell you, our safety play has been great. You know, Antrell Roll didn't play so great against the 49ers, but Kenny Phillips has been great back there. I mean,
right.
he's been lights out, and the defensive line has just been putting in work. And, the defense is playing fantastic to not give up any points to Atlanta besides, you know, the two points on the offense.
Right.
But to shut down Green Bay, almost. I mean, not shut them down, but without the help of the referees, I mean, we would have held them to probably 14 points, if that.
In Lambeau, right? With Aaron Rodgers. I meant saying something.
We put a good hurting on the Packers and the Niners. I mean, I thought our defense played phenomenal. Our offense was, you know, understandably a little had a tough time. It's really hard to run the ball against that team.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought they played great in that game as well.
Hey, yep. Do you guys know, I don't know if you guys read this. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jim, but I was watching one of the I think it was NFL Network maybe. Do you guys know how many plays over 20 yards Patriots have given up this season?
100?
300.
81. 81. 81 plays over 20 yards or more. 81 plays over 20 yards or more. So I think if our defense plays the way it's been playing and our guys come in now, you know, like I said, we have both running backs going and we have the, you know, our receivers and tight end, everybody moving. I mean, who knows what we're capable of doing. It'll be long shot to be a blowout, but man, would that be nice.
Yeah, whatever.
I wouldn't want it to be like last week, man. Like I told you, my sister's in the hospital, not because of this, but it's everybody thinks, you know. I was almost, my heart was pumping, you know. I'm like, come on, you know, in that overtime. So I would love to see a blowout. I would love to just sit there and see the clock run out and, you know, have a beer in my hand and just enjoy it.
I was super nervous. I mean, the whole game, I was freaking out. I couldn't sit down. But, I think people are giving the Patriots too much credit. I mean, I think they're a good team, obviously. They're in the Super Bowl. But, you know, I mean, I'm a huge Tim Tebow supporter, being a fan of Florida. But that offense is putrid. And I could have stopped them. And as far as the Ravens go, the Ravens are a very good team. And Joe Flacco had a really good game.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, he's not on Eli's level, clearly.
Right.
Eli's playing just outstanding. But their defense is not that good. I mean, they're really not. And combined with our weapons that we have on offense with Cruz, Mix, and Manningham, Ballard, even Bradshaw out of the backfield, I mean, I feel we can not only run the ball, but, I mean, we could definitely pile up the points. I don't see any reason why we couldn't win this game handily.
Yeah, because that's exactly what I was saying. You're right, because we can run, we should be able to run against them, since Jacobs had 75 yards himself last game. And now we have him, and we have Bradshaw. So, you know, we have both our runners there. We have the, like you said, we have the weapons in the receiving end there with Manningham and Cruz and Hakeem Nicks. And you got Ballard, you know, at the tight end. And even that guy, the other one, Bear Pascoe. These guys, you know, he caught a touchdown last week, you know. So we have a lot of weapons, man. It wouldn't surprise me if we really – scored a lot. I mean, but we are playing as Brady, you know, and that's the thing. And no matter how well you can play and how good things are, that guy could light up a freaking, you know, the scoreboard also. That's the only problem, is that he's so good, you know. But the other good thing is that, you know, hey, that guy Gronkowski is hurt. So even though he'll be in there, if he's not 100%, it's going to take away from them. So, yeah, you were right. We have a very good chance, and we match up very well.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. Gronkowski being hurt, I don't think he's going to be 100%. There's
right.
No way. I don't see it happening. And the only thing that's going to really – if Brady doesn't play his A game, I mean, if we can really put some pressure on him like we did last time, you know, in Super Bowl 42, if we can bring that kind of pressure I just don't see how we're not favorited to win that way. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
But I mean, if we can put some pressure on him, keep in mind, last week he didn't have any touchdown passes through two interceptions against the Ravens' defense, and I think our defense is playing just as well as theirs is right now.
Right now, exactly.
I agree.
I agree, too.
All right, so Justin, why don't you give us a prediction and give us an MVP prediction.
Well, I'm going to say the Giants are going to put up 35-17.
Wow, that sounds good.
I like it too.
Yeah.
That's my favorite prediction so far.
That's what I truly believe, that we could drop 35 on them without a problem. But,
yeah, I put it in one of the, you know, one of these other sites that were asking me. I put in 30-20, so pretty close.
That's a good score. I'm still surprised we're 3-point underdogs, 2.5, whatever.
In a way, it's good. I mean, for us, because, I mean, yeah, we beat them and this and that, but they did have the better record and stuff like that, and I understand that. But you know what? Some of our guys were angry at that, and maybe that's a little, you know, a little bit, you know, get them fired up. Hey, man, you know, we beat these guys in the Super Bowl. We beat them this year. We were missing so many guys, and we're underdog, you know. Let them. You know, get that anger up, man. Get that desire to say, hey, you know, let's see how many points we could beat them by and stuff, and see how many we should have been favored by.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. I like the underdog card. MVP. I want to say Eli. I really do. I think he's going to have a tremendous, tremendous game, and I don't see how it could really go to anybody except for him. But I mean, it could possibly go to Cruz or Nicks too, if they have, you know, a huge game, but I really think it's going to be Eli. I really do.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. So I got you down for 35-17, and either Eli or we'll split it between the wideouts.
There you go. Perfect.
All right, Justin. Well, thank you for calling in. Now you got to come join us on the Underground some night.
Yeah, I will, for sure. That the viewing party, by the way, was great the other day against the Bruins. That was awesome.
Yeah,
I had a great time. And
yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, you fellas have a good night.
You
all
too.
Right.
Nice talking to you, buddy.
Thanks.
Later.
All right. That was Justin out here in Arizona. Now, before we get back to the phones, I got a little something to play here for you. 646-478-4692 if you guys want to call in. There's a lot of you in the chat room that haven't called in yet. I see we have a ton of guests.
Wow.
And I would make the joke in the Blue Shirt Underground that's the Ranger Brass listening, but it's obviously not. So here's a little something for you, and then we'll get back to the phones.
From this point on, we're about to make our mark right now.
You ready to go up here? Let's go.
It's game time.
What it's all about right here.
Right here.
What better time than now?
Right now.
It's our house.
This is our house.
This is our time.
Let's go.
This is our game.
It's about one goal.
He's under pressure. Stop.
It's about leaving it all on the field.
It's
a battle of wills.
That's a hell of a job. Way to go.
Team first,
team last,
team always.
Let's go.
We're all in.
All in.
All in.
Are you all in?
1, 2, 3,
team.
We're all in.
We want New York. We want New York.
In the playoffs. End zone. And caught for the touchdown, Manningham. Eli Manning has converted a 3rd and 8, a 3rd and 10, and a 3rd and 11 already. First down all day, wide open, pass complete. That's Nix. And Hakeem Nix inside the 10, touchdown Giants, no flag.
And get out of bounds, they're going to have a chance for Lawrence Tynes' field goal.
Be a 55-yard try from here, and now instead they're going for it all. The pass is caught for the touchdown. Unbelievable. Hakeem Nix. On a last-second heave by Eli Manning. Low snap. The kick is good. And the Giants are going back to the Super Bowl. And the Giants are going back to the Super Bowl. And the Giants are going back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh. Even Joe Buck sounds good making those calls because I can't stand Joe Buck.
It can be nice without Joe Buck this year. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, but we get Al Michaels and one of the all-time Giant haters, Chris Collinsworth. Oh, I can't stand Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, Collinsworth, I don't like, but I'll take Al Michaels. So just having Al Michaels will make it better.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, let's go back to the phones. I got a few more clips to play for you before it's all said and done, and we got about 35 minutes to go. On hold now, coming in from – here's Buddy from Holbrook. Buddy, good evening, and welcome to the G-Men Jubilee.
How are you doing today?
Hey, man, how's it going?
How you doing? I think you Giant fans are you're a little crazy over there. You're getting a little crazy. This guy's good and that guy's good. Come on. You got lucky against San Francisco. Come on. I mean, you think Alex Smith, that guy couldn't throw to anybody.
He got lucky, Daddy.
Defense shut him down. No, it's Buddy. Buddy from Holbrook. Buddy from Holbrook. Ixnay on the Eddie.
Buddy.
It's Buddy from Holbrook.
Buddy from Holbrook.
It's Frank Rizzo.
Let me tell you something. Seriously. Come on. Let's bring it down to street level here. You got to be kidding. You think that there's you don't think there's a gap between Tom Brady and Alex Smith? The guy, he was terrible in that game.
Oh, forget Alex Smith. What about the guy they played 2 weeks ago? He's pretty good, isn't he? That discount double-check State Farm guy?
Ah, they shit the bed. You know what they did. Green Bay came up and just did a stinker. What, are you going to measure up against Green Bay? Come on. That was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, they weren't
any good. What are you doing from now?
It was 2 weeks ago.
They got lucky in that San Francisco game. There was some chucklehead in this chat room that says they deserve to win that game against San Francisco. It went to overtime. It's a toss-up.
Yeah.
They deserve.
It's like both teams had the ball, man, right?
Yeah. Except one team didn't have a chucklehead. It didn't know not to touch the ball with his foot when it was kicked to him. Chucklehead who fumbled.
Well, that's kind of like...
Hey, Jeff, he missed that class, right?
That's kind of like having some chucklehead in the defensive backfield that doesn't know to tackle Victor Cruz at the 10-yard line on a 10-yard out from Eli Manning and lets him run for 99 yards.
But that's another thing. Everything's with Eli. Eli, look at Bill. He can throw it. The receivers do all the work.
Eli can throw a spiral now. Did you notice?
What about the Hail Mary he threw in the end zone? What about the pass he threw? You're going to tell me he's never – oh, here we go.
In the last no Mark 4 minutes Sanchez. Of the game, he can do it.
He's no Mark Sanchez.
Where is he in the first half? You want a slow first half in that Super Bowl? Ah, you'll be
I just want to win the Super Bowl. I don't care if they win 2-0. I just want to win the Super Bowl.
They won't get their first points in the third quarter. The team doesn't score. Brandon Jacobs, he's a weapon. Come on. He's a bum.
Against the Pats, he is.
He's no Sean Green.
Oh, the Bill Belichick will have a great game plan against them. I really think you're right.
Everybody's got a plan until they get smacked in the mouth.
I mean, you beat Atlanta. They were nothing. I mean, they weren't going anywhere. I mean, San Francisco, luckily, with a first-year coach, no passing game whatsoever with Alex Smith and Vernon Davis. Give me a break. All you did was have to cover Vernon Davis in that game.
Who was that Aaron Rodgers guy?
Oh, he's terrible. Mr. Discount Double Check, he's terrible.
They're due for a loss. What were they, 31-2? So they came in and like I said, they crapped the bed. You think the Giants are dominant? In your minds, you think the Giants are better than Green Bay?
They were that day. That's it.
But overall,
you sound like Rex Ryan.
Oh, they weren't better. Think that you're better than Green Bay.
Sure, the way Joe Namath was better than the Colts in 1968.
So now you're saying Joe Namath's better than Johnny Unitas?
That's right. That day he was better than Johnny Unitas. From a normal distance.
Got it. First of all, here's my prediction. And the catch is made by Cruz, who breaks free.
Victor Cruz is going to catch him.
NFL record, 99 yards from Manning.
Hey, Coughlin ain't no Rex Ryan, you know.
Darrell Revis is still running.
Rex Ryan is the god. He was talking about him.
Oh, here we go.
Ryan, you don't even know the things he's going to do in the future.
Who?
Rex Ryan, you don't know.
He's going to play with some feet, I know that.
Ow! Ow! I got to break out the Blue Shirt Underground sound effects for this.
Ow! Listen, I'm gonna learn you some brains here, right?
I'm going to learn you some.
Here we go.
All right. Okay.
Learn these
first
two knuckleheads some.
Early in the season, you remember Victor Cruz? He's making good plays, and he would make a bonehead play, try the extra yard. That's what's going to happen in the Super Bowl. You're all going to be Victor Cruz, the Cruz missile, whatever nicknames you come up with him. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to lose with Victor Cruz because he's going to fumble trying to get extra yards. Rex Ryan told me that. When I make mistakes, it ain't funny. Who is that clown? All right. Well, you better not pull that clip and put it off.
Yeah, you better not.
All right.
I love this guy who's calling. Who is he?
In all seriousness, MVP Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, 41-70 Patriots.
They're not playing the Jets.
Oh! You don't know. The Jets purposely didn't make the playoffs this year.
Wait, I ran out of marker trying to write Ben Jarvis Green Ellis on my
board. Yeah. Green Ellis.
Do you got any more names? Is it Lawrence Maroney?
How are you going to win with all the Jets special teams guys? You got the punter, you got the kicker.
Lawrence Tynes wasn't a Jet. He makes field goals.
Yeah, he was a Chief.
No, he wasn't. He was a Chief. He was with the Chiefs.
Nah, he was a Jet.
He was never a Jet. And Steve Weatherford, the punter, you guys couldn't run him out of Hofstra fast enough.
And let me tell you something. As soon as I knew we got anybody and I heard Matt Dodge was gone, I was happy as anything. As long as it wasn't Matt Dodge, I knew we were okay.
Steve Weatherford's been terrific.
You better get out of Dodge when you go into the NBA and fake those pats. You're not scared. Let me tell you something.
He gets down and kisses the ground every day that he's not a Jet anymore.
Oh.
Plaxico did too today.
Okay, every time Rex Ryan comes on TV, I wish they'd show Heidi again.
Let me tell you, Rex Ryan is a genius. He purposely didn't make the playoffs this year. He didn't want to get wrapped up in this playoff baggage.
Yeah, he had this state seminar to go to.
Frank and Beans!
You in your head!
Frank and Beans!
Go ahead. If you think the I got him. I got him. I finally got him. I mean, you know what? I expect buffoonery, Giant fans, because... Got awfully lucky, and you're not... See, if you fans would come out and say, you know, listen, we were lucky against San Francisco, we're glad to be here, but no, you somehow have kind of, in your mind, rationalized being there.
Where were you for the first 45 minutes of the show when I said sometimes it's better to be lucky to be good? And to be a champion, sometimes you need a little luck. What if the ball, give me what ifs all night long. What if the ball doesn't go through fucking
Didn't I say that guy, they still have that guy Brady. I said they got that guy Brady, they were 13-3. They can still do it.
What if the Jets don't draft Browning Nagel? What if Scott Norwood makes that kick? Handy's a nut.
You don't understand in your brain that what's that guy's name? The guy who who fumbled the ball there, the kick returner. What's his name?
Vernon Williams.
That Esther Williams, whatever you want to call that.
Esther Williams.
Esther Williams.
Okay. If that is one of the most
Billy D. Williams.
The biggest catastrophes in a conference championship game since A.J. Dewey sacked Richard Todd.
Richard, hey, don't get on Richard Todd. He found a wide open A.J. Dewey three times in that game.
And Eli Manning, elite. All right, first of all, really need to take your medicine.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
I am going to give it to you guys that the guy is fantastic. I agree with the host here. I don't know who his name is. But
I'm new here. It's my first foray into internet radio.
No, it's mine.
Right, that guy, Eli Manningham, is the guy.
You mean Peyton Manningham?
Yeah, he can win the game for you. In Alaska. But where is he? The first couple quarters. I see a lot of yardage. I don't see any touchdowns. You got to get him to a good start in the Super Bowl. That's going to be there. And who are you going to cover? It's not Vernon Davis. You got the Gradkowski guy. You got the Anthony Hernandez. You got the other guys. What?
How many tight ends do they got to shut down? But you know, before you become a little bit of a believer. And they shut down Jason Witten. They shut down Tony Gonzalez. They shut down.
Gonzalez had a horrible year.
Your Michael Finley, whatever his name is.
They have two. They don't have just one.
Who's the receivers?
We got three receivers. They only got one.
They're not sending Randy Moss and Irving Fryer out there after us, you know.
Alex Smith is there's Tom Brady now, kids. Time for a step up.
I'm not even talking about Alex Smith. Fine, I'll give you whatever you want.
That guy was terrible.
Yeah, well, he was terrible. The defense shut him down. But what about Aaron Rodgers, Mr. Discount?
And look at Alex Smith the week before, huh?
Come on.
You don't want to hear it.
I watched every San Francisco game. I knew they were going to stink. All they have is defense. They can't.
He didn't watch it. He didn't watch it. He didn't watch a San Francisco game until Sunday. I guarantee you that.
No, I can tell you. I know. Because I'll tell you, I watched every San Francisco game because I had Frank Gore in my fantasy league.
Oh, there it is.
So let me tell you something. They were one of the worst red zone teams in the league. That's how much I know about them. That's why they couldn't put that game away against the Giants.
That's why David Akers broke the record for field goals, because they couldn't score in the red zone. That's not my problem. I'm not here to apologize for the San Francisco 49ers. This is a New York Giants radio show.
Well, I'm just saying, Mr. Host, that your team you can't overlook these things when you start getting all psyched about your team. You gotta respect the other team. You're showing no respect to the Patriots.
Bullshit, we're not showing them any respect. I'm just saying we can beat them.
The Giants are going back to the Super Bowl.
Back to the Super Bowl. Wouldn't you like to hear that about the Jets someday? And the Jets are going back to losing the AFC Championship.
This comes down to you, Giant fans. Always try to compare yourself to the Jet fans. Just because the Jets haven't had much success, nobody cares about the Giants in New York. I don't hear anything about them.
Oh, listen.
I don't hear anything before this year. All you Giants fans, at the beginning of the year, oh, I think we'll be 8-8. I don't know. This team's got problems. Now all of a sudden, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. When the Jets were out, all of a sudden, everybody became Giants fans.
Oh yeah. I would kiss Costa before I'd become a Jet fan on the mouth.
What?
With tongue.
Now, let me tell you something.
Hey, listen. While
I don't
we
know
got
the host,
well,
I think.
I want to ask
you. You got to understand. Listen, you're taking it too lightly. This guy, and that guy's picking him by 20 points. Are you kidding me? Are you out of your minds? I know you think they got Swiss cheese defense on over there, and maybe they do. But I mean, listen, they beat Green Bay what 37-20?
Yes,
you know. I don't think that's,
it's not good to beat them by 17 points at home.
No, there's nothing. No, that was all luck. It was all luck.
At 20-17, you win by 3 points against a team that's got Alex Smith. Can I say his name more?
On a horrible weather conditions against the best defense in the NFL.
I want to see the Jet offense go against the San Francisco defense next year. I want to see that because Sanchez will be buried 6 feet under.
First of all, is better looking than Eli Manning.
that's what matters.
I think it's the money.
And I have to say the Jets program. I criticize the Jets, although Rex Ryan has a plan. It's in motion right now.
You know he's playing with somebody's feet right now.
Hey, listen, while we got you on the phone, do you want to tell the Joe Namath guarantee story again? I haven't heard it in a while.
That thing, that's a curse.
He's got a documentary
anytime they
coming
show
out
that
on HBO. He's gonna tell you all about Joe Namath, the great Joe Namath.
See, and now you know what, though? Bella Bell's finally talking some sense in this chat room. This person, Bella Bell here, she says, Green Bay didn't show up that game, Eddie. That's right. I don't know who Eddie is, but still.
As long as the Giants showed up, that's all that mattered.
I'm supposed to apologize for that? I ain't apologizing for nothing. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Green Bay was on vacation, man. They were hanging out for like weeks, just resting up and, you know, taking it easy.
Bad. They took the Giants too lightly.
They took the that right,
that's,
exactly.
Now we're and
no
now,
they,
now you're talking sense. You're not going, oh, we beat Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they did.
It's a loss on his record,
Aaron
man,
Rodgers
if you look at it.
Aaron Rodgers beat him so did the Green Bay. They were just not. They were flat.
So what? Whose fault is that? I'm supposed to, what, it's the Giants' fault? They couldn't get up for the NFC division game at home? In Lambeau Field on the frozen tundra, which is heated to 45 degrees now.
But maybe you guys, I mean, you guys are semi-logical, but these other people are making believe like they won. The Giants came in there. They were monsters. They had everything figured out about Aaron Rodgers and no running game. So predictable. So Alex Smith in San Francisco, predictable. Bill Belichick's going to have all kinds of – I bet you Danny Woodhead gets 2 touchdowns in this game. That's how great it's going to be coached by Belichick.
So a Jets fan loves Belichick.
To the Super Bowl.
I'm with Rex Ryan. There only can be one team in New York, and that's the New York Jets.
I thought it was the Buffalo Bills.
Very true.
That's true. I'm with you on that. But you got a wonderful broadcast here, fellas. I hope it ends. in all honesty, I wish you Giant fans the best of luck. I hope you win the game and you get a lot of love and a lot of fun out of it. But
if we get the love from you, man, you know we're happy.
You know, I want all you Giant fan friends, but you got to be a little more realistic. I would be scared shitless going up against Tom Brady.
That's what I said, right, Jim? I said they were 13-3. They have Tom Brady. They have weapons too.
They're not some
piece of garbage team that's, you know, just rolled into town. You know, they were the number one seed. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. I hope it is.
There's one thing that I got to tell you, and that's that I think the NFC is much tougher than the AFC. So you got that going. But I'm looking for the keys. These are my key things I would fear as a Giant fan. The Victor Cruz inevitable fumble. The Eli Manning bad start. And I think that's it. Oh,
those are the three keys to the game.
Meltdown is not getting enough ball enough in the first half and then causing chaos. And any fan that endorses that Brandon Jacobs, who to me is a disgusting human being for what he said against Giant fans, you never shit where you eat. You never say anything bad about the fans. That's my problem with him. This includes my speech.
He's just a hothead.
Well, I love this show. Like I said, I hope it ends very soon.
Well, we'll do our best.
Well, all right. Well, good luck to you, Giant fans. I hope you win, even though that's never going to happen.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Take care,
guys. I appreciate that, man.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we got just about 15 minutes to go. If anybody wants to call in, we still got 646-478-4692 is the number. Here's a little something. If you've been rooting for the Giants a long time, you'll get this. This is here's Artie Lang.
Got a lot of fucking vices, though, I'm trying to get rid of. Over the years, I've also developed an enormous gambling problem. You're not in show business for a decade and dressed like this without a bad gambling problem. I was making $35,000 a week on a sitcom. I'm wearing the same jacket I wore at a Rush concert in 1981. And the reason I got no money from gambling is because I like to bet on the New York football cock-sucking fucker fuck me in the ass Giants. The Giants haven't covered a fucking game since the Reagan administration. The Giants used to be a lot more frustrating to bet on because they had this old guy who was like a drunk and he had Alzheimer's disease and he announced the fucking games on the radio and he always made mistakes. So if you had a bet on the game, you didn't know what the fuck was going on. This guy Jim Gordon would say shit like this on the radio. You'd have a bet and you'd go like this. You go, Sims drops back looking for a receiver. He's going way deep, long, long, way down for Baker, baby. Touchdown, Giants. No, he dropped it. Maggot takes the ball at his own 32. He breaks a tackle. He's across midfield, 45-40, 35-30. He's got one man to beat the kicker. He's by the kicker. He'll score! No, he stepped out of five! One time, this was years ago, I had $500 to my name. So I put $1,000 on a Giant game. You want to spruce up a boring Sunday, Arizona, I'll fucking tell you what. Put double your net worth on a football game and then get drunk watching it. Beats the fucking living shit out of any New Year's Eve you'll ever have. So I got all this money on the game, and here's what this cocksucker says on the fucking fuck radio. Giants have the ball, fourth and goal from the one. Tillman, the lone setback. Hand off Tillman. Maybe. He's in. Wait, no, I can't see it. Now word from Toyota. Piece of shit.
And that is not far off from how Jim Gordon used to call Giant games.
Very close, right?
Yeah. I actually
much better Ranger announce, I think.
Yeah, well, not if you ask Eddie. So, all right, we got just a few minutes to go. James, how about you give us your prediction on the game and give us an MVP prediction?
Man, I'm going to stick with what I had written down on one of the boards. I think the Giants are going to win by 10. I think it's going to be 30-20. And, man, I think, God, everybody's picking Eli. I'm going to pick Cruz. Just because Eddie said he's going to drop the ball or whatever, I'm going to pick Cruz as the MVP.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give you a quick breakdown. I think, like I said before, I think the Giants are going to be able to spread the field a little bit. Eli is terrific when it comes to getting the ball to different receivers. I think he completed passes to 7 different receivers against the 49ers. I think he will be able to do that against the Patriots. I think he'll have a little bit more time to throw the ball against
maybe
the Patriots.
Maybe a lot more time.
Well, I'll go a little
bit San Francisco,
more.
Right?
I think he'll have more time to throw the ball. I think he'll be able to find open receivers. Nixon Cruz, you know, they're gonna pay a lot of attention to those guys, and it's gonna open things up a little bit for Mario Manningham. And like I said, you know, top of the broadcast, he's going to have to step up. And I think Ahmad Bradshaw is going to be able to play a big part in getting the Giants some scoring on defense. I think the Giants will be able to, you know, Gronkowski, it looks like he's not going to be at 100% if he plays. I'm assuming he's going to play. I think the Giants will be able to move Deion Grant around as they've done the last few weeks and cover Gronkowski and who's the other tight end?
Hernandez.
Hernandez. They've got to be careful. Hernandez running the ball out of the backfield. They do that. The Patriots do like to do that, which I like seeing. Actually, I was saying, we were talking about it the other day. You don't see that tight ends getting to carry the ball. I said to my buddy Chuck in the chat room here. Would you love to see Mark Bavaro carry the ball?
Oh, that'd be nice.
Out of the backfield.
a whole team on his back, right?
Exactly. I do think the Giants are the better team. I don't think they've played their best football yet. I do think they will do that next Sunday. And I am on record. The Giants will win Super Bowl 46. Final score, Giants 31, Patriots 20.
Wow, we're very close there.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be able, just like you said, put the points on the board. I think they're going to also put points on the board. But I think when we get down to that red zone there, you know, I think, you know, when Brady hits Welker or one of these guys, it might be one of these longer ones. You know, it seems like sometimes the Giants will give up a big play. But when they get it inside that red zone 20, Giants a lot of time hold them to field goals. So I could see, okay, but I'll give them 2 touchdowns and stuff. But the rest are going to kick some field goals, man. That's the way I think it's going to go. I think there'll be a couple of touchdowns, couple field goals, and like you said, I think Manning's going to have a lot of the field to throw to, and we're going to have a nice mixture of running and passing. I think now that we have, like say, since Jacobs ran well against them last time, and now we have, you know, you have 2 different type style backs there. You know, you have one who could cut, you know, at a dime, whatever, they could move around, and Jacobs pretty much is a straight ahead guy, even though he hasn't been getting that 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1. That's what I'd like to see. I'd love to see him get some of those and break some, you know, like, just get out there. But I think it's going to be right around there, 30, 31 points, yeah. 30 to 20, I got. And you said 31-20.
Yep, 31-20. And I'm going to give you the MVP of Super Bowl 46, who will get his own personal redemption from not being the MVP of Super Bowl 42. Number 91, Justin Tuck. Justin Tuck will be the MVP of Super Bowl 46. Looks like we have no other calls on the line, so we'll call it a day with just a few minutes to go. I thank you all for joining me. Enjoy your weekend with no football. I wouldn't say don't bother with the Pro Bowl because there's no Giants in it. It's a lousy game anyway. And if you haven't yet, my mojo, you don't buy NFC Champions gear. Bad luck.
Yeah, I don't buy it either. I don't buy it. I never did. I didn't buy it last time. I want the good one.
I did it once, 2000, and and I've never done it again.
See, I did it with the Mets in 86. I did, you know, I my mother had wanted to buy the, she saw the shirt, and I told her, she bought it for me. I said, take it back. Take it back. I ain't wearing it. I don't want that. I want the World Series shirt. They got to win that, and that's what happened. So I'm with you, Jim. No, I'm that superstitious type, too. I don't want no jinx, nothing, you know. I don't record. There were some things I was going to record and stuff of, you know, other you know, teams and stuff. I won't mention any of it. I just don't want to have anything to, you know, I feel like, you know, something's there. You know, I just got to just keep it blank. You know, I don't want to know nothing else. I'm just concentrating on just this game, nothing else from the past. Just look at this and just concentrate on it. And I believe our team is going to do it. I really have a good feeling.
I do, too. So, well, James, thank you so much for volunteering to sit in.
Oh, man, it was a pleasure. Anytime, Jim.
This was fun, and we'll talk to you on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. I think our next show for Blue Shirt Underground, since everybody here is a Ranger fan. Anyway, probably Thursday night. I think the Rangers come back Tuesday night and play the Devils, and then I think Wednesday night they have the Sabres. So we will be with you guys Thursday night, same spot, Blog Talk Radio right here, and we'll see you guys then. And have a good night. I'll tell you what, I'll play this JPP song again since you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you later. Take care.
Good Thursday, Jimmy.
Thanks, James.
Okay, thank you.
Good night, everybody.